for students and parents, because it does benefit the parents, to save a few dollars as the new school year is beginning. So this is, I think, the second year, Kurt. So if
that
you
is
want
correct.
To talk a little bit about that, it's a wonderful opportunity for the students at NISH.
Sure. Good morning. Again, this year we're offering the opportunity for all NISH students to come in, give us 2 hours to help us clean up our campus. Even though our janitors do a great job over the summer, there's always a few more things that we'd like, to get done to get campus looking really nice for the opening of school. So we have 2 cleanup days. The first one is today from 12:30 to 2:30, and then the second will be next week, Tuesday, from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. And we'll be doing a variety of things, cleaning out some closets. We have some yard work, some branches, variety of things, cleaning the parking lot. And in return, for their 2 hours of service, I will waive their orientation fee of $30 per student. So we're anticipating a pretty good group of students. Last year we had a good turnout. I've already received some calls inquiring if we're going to do it again. So it's just it's a great opportunity. And students show up. They have pride in the school, and they want to help out. And so, hey, I think it's a win-win situation.
You bet. And, again, I wrote down today from 12:30 to 2:30 and then 4:30 to 6. When is that next week?
That should be August 1st.
Which is what day of the week?
That is Tuesday.
Tuesday. Okay. All right. So you got 2 opportunities.
So today and then next Tuesday.
And then in conjunction, I invited all the teachers to come as well, and this will be a great opportunity to get some students to help, get their classrooms ready as well.
4:30 to 6:30?
4 to 6.
4 to 6. And any little snacks or water?
Well, we'll working on that, but yep. We'll have a few, water and drinks available.
Is most of the work, is it split between inside, outside?
That is correct. We try to, keep groups of about 6 or 7 students doing a variety of tasks, put an adult with each group, doing anything from, like I said, cleaning the parking lot, cleaning out some closets.
Any kind of paperwork, like working in the library, sorting books or files, or in the classrooms, helping the teacher with the display.
That is correct.
Banners.
We will have some teachers setting up bulletin boards, cleaning out old files, and basically there to help the teachers.
You don't get to clap erasers anymore, though, do you?
No, not too often.
Hey, teacher, come on, you're going to like me because I'm going to clean your erasers here after school.
That was a good way to get in,
That's a good way to get in. And, you could clap the erasers and also kind of bang them on the sidewalk.
Bang them on the sidewalk.
Yeah,
and you could on the walls outside.
And, you know,
it'd be those big rectangular white things.
It's interesting. Right, all over the bricks and the sidewalk. What happened? But the kids today, this generation and the next one, certainly in future generations, won't know what that is.
I'll go and rinse out the dry eraser rag, because that thing does pick up ink or something, right?
It does, yeah. A special cleaner for those boards.
Right. Which you probably need a respirator mask. That stuff's probably got some volatile solvents in it.
Well, I'm sure if we're using it in the schools, it's been tested.
But it can't be as bad as those the Ditto machines. Remember that purple ink?
Well, we were talking about those yesterday and Xerox machines and the cost associated with it, and the Ditto machines came up, and of course everybody remembers the fresh ones smelling those sheets.
They would still be moist.
Still
when
they'd
be
moist,
passing them out,
right.
They just come off.
You place them on the desk, you'd see the students.
Yeah,
a good little.
And they'd start kind of crinkling into that roll again.
Uh huh.
Boy, that's something, man. We all have that
good,
common
good memories, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, school does begin for our students in grades 1 through 12 next Friday, the 4th. And then our pre-kindergarten and kindergarten students start the following Thursday, which is the 10th. So all students in grades 1 through 12, next Friday the 4th, and then the following Thursday for pre-kindergarten and kindergarten students. We always start them almost a week later so that we can get school in session, get things settled down, just have everyone in place before the little ones come in.
You've got a testing for kindergarten starting Friday.
They participate
through Wednesday.
It says testing, but it's actually a screening device
That
we use just so that the teachers will know at what level and at what point the kids are coming in, what can they do? It's just a very general, developmentally appropriate screening device that that our kindergarten teachers and, of course, the principals use to help determine just at what level the kindergarten students are.
What do the SMILE, what does the SMILE program do with the pre-K and Ks that the school board, do they have special classes after school, or is it mainly transportation with the SMILE?
Oh, SMILE, well, SMILE is actually, SMILE Head Start is actually a separate program. They,
okay.
They provide early childhood services for a group of students. So that is a separate program. There are three.
So
there are actually three groups of students that fall under Act 3. When the legislature enacted Act 3.
Has to go to school? And
yeah, who has to go to school? Who falls under this? That's the school system. Each public school system has pre-kindergarten classes. Then, secondly, SMILE Head Start. And then third would be private daycares that participate in the program by taking state funding.
All right.
So there are three separate groups, and SMILE Head Start is one of them. So they provide early childhood education opportunities for a group of students,
so
separate
if,
from the school system.
If SMILE were to falter at any point, and that would not affect your pre-K or K program through the Iberia Parish School Board?
It could in that some of those students who are enrolled in the SMILE Head Start program may want to enroll in our school system in pre-kindergarten.
To pick up where they're going to lose.
Right.
If SMILE would have to shut down a...
That's correct. That's correct. So it's a completely separate group of students. Mm-hmm. But, of course, they're all Iberia Parish students, so there might be some. I know it's in the appeal process, and I'm not real sure about what's going
where
on
they,
with that, but where they are. But there could be some students who would then want to participate in our early childhood program.
And there are limited spots for kindergarten and pre-K, or not, just for the pre-K?
Not kindergarten, but pre-kindergarten, because of the funding. It's mostly federally funded, and so there are very, very, very strict guidelines regarding pre-kindergarten education, that very early childhood education. So it's 20 per class, a teacher and an aide, and a very tightly written curriculum.
Is it a same amount of hours as the...
They go throughout the day, right.
And the same Carnegie units, the 180...
The same school year. It's the same time of the school year. Now they're going to start a week later, so it's, so the time restrictions are not quite the same, but they go out throughout the year, and they stay throughout the day.
4 years old, four to
four
five?
4 years old, 4 years. And then kindergarten, five, and then first grade, of course, six.
How many are in pre-K?
The pre-K program, we have about 550 students who are enrolled in pre-kindergarten, but about 1,100 who are in kindergarten. So what that shows you is that about half of the students who are in pre-kindergarten, we have that many more who are not enrolled in pre-kindergarten in Iberia Parish.
So you think if you had more money or more funding, you could double your pre-K right now?
And more.
Take
more classroom space.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, you'd have to have the capacity to do that. But we haven't gotten to that point yet. I don't know what the situation is and where they are in the appeals process where SMILE is concerned. But that's probably what it means to answer your question, is some students may want to enter the school system if we had the capacity. We have some capacity, but to take an additional 500 students in pre-kindergarten would probably be a bit of a stretch.
You know, I heard Representative Terry Landry talking, and it seems like they're going to do something. They just can't.
I would think so.
At this point in the year, I mean, it's like waiting this late in the process to pull the plug on them like that. It's like,
school starts in a week.
Right, right.
I mean, it's
and
it's getting
parents have made plans. I mean,
parents have made plans. That's exactly
kids
right.
All excited about going.
Yeah. And I think that was the reason for the appeals process, is they're trying to work through it. And if it works out, then that's fine. If it doesn't, well, then they'll have to be a plan B. They may be some other organization who would take over,
and
do something else. So
right now, folks are moving in. Let's say they had got job transfers and they don't know the process. Mm-hmm. Go by the school. Probably better to go by the school board office and
come
to call
by the school
in.
Board office. Yeah, that probably would be the best thing to do. Now, if you're if you're moving in and you know you live near a school and you know that in all likelihood that's the school your child will attend, then you could go to the school for information. But most likely you would go to the school board office, speak with the two folks in our, Mr. Russell and Mr. McFarland, who are in our student services department, and they would look on our zoning map and say, okay, you're going to Center Street Elementary School or to NISH. And then they would tell you all of the things that you would need to have if it's a younger child, what kinds of records you would need, immunization records, utility bill.
Do you need any certified birth certificates or health records?
Need a birth certificate, need health records, mm-hmm. Utility bill for proof of residency, all of those kinds of things.
All right.
And they'll, and if you want to call before you would even go by the school board office, because the lines have been pretty long to get into student services right now, which is a good thing because students are coming into the school system. But if you just want to call and speak with Amy Terrio, in our student services department, and the number is 365-2341, a pretty easy number to remember. It's 365-2341. Then they can answer your questions about what you'll need to bring. And you, in all likelihood, you wouldn't have to make two trips. You could get all of the information that you need, bring it down to the school board office. They would tell you, you know, the school zone you live in and what you would have to do from that point. It's pretty simple. And then there's also some information online if you want to go to the Iberia Parish School Board website. Then there's some registration information online as well. So a lot of different ways to access that information.
All right.
Yeah. So pretty simple. We're trying to make it very easy to enroll in school. This past Sunday there was a nice article in the Daily Iberian that was in Sunday's paper. And earlier this summer we received our individual student scores from the LEAP test. It's in grades 3 through 8. Once again this year our district showed some good growth on a tough test. And we're very pleased that over the last 3 years, Iberia Parish students in all subjects, grades 3 through 8, have shown a 7 percentage point increase in the LEAP scores. From 16 to 17, we grew by 1 point. But since 2015, 2 years ago, we've grown by 7 points. The state has grown by 4. We always use the state as kind of a benchmark.
Yeah.
Because that represents all of the other districts in the state. So when you're outpacing the state, then that means that your program is probably working pretty well, and that's one of the benchmks that we use. And so Iberia Parish has grown by 7 points in all subjects on LEAP test. And in English language arts, we've grown by 9 points over the last 3 years. The state has grown by 5. And in mathematics, we've grown by 7, while the state has grown by 2 points. So some very good LEAP results, and what it shows is that our students are working hard, our teachers are working hard, our principals are working hard. Every day in those schools, people are really teaching at a very high level, and certainly very proud of the work that's going on in classrooms throughout the district. So, Mr. Landry, I didn't know if you had anything to add to this. Well, either the LEAP scores 3 through 8, but it's tough work. Louisiana has one of the toughest, and has had since LEAP began in 1999. Louisiana has one of the toughest, strictest accountability programs in the nation. And for a district to continue to show growth is just really phenomenal, I think.
How come we're always coming up with these, the worst place to live, the poorest, this and that? We always getting these negative. Why don't they ever point these things out?
Well, not in Iberia.
Yeah, okay.
maybe that's
we are a strange bird, you know.
Yeah,
with
right.
The Spanish not being. A lot of people think we're like rednecks down here, and
Well, you know, there's a lot of hard work going on in those classrooms, mm-hmm. And they're really trying hard. So,
and when you say the points, that's on a scale of 100 or 10.
Well, it's 7. It's a growth. It's a growth scale of 7 percentage points.
All right. Okay.
So we grew by 7 points, which is, you know, Louisiana's accountability model is a growth model. So you're always trying to show growth towards the ultimate goal. I think the perfect score is 150, I think. And so you're always trying to grow towards that ultimate goal.
To 150.
Yeah. So anytime you're increasing, but this is the percentage of students who
7%
up. Yeah, 7%
up. All right.
7% up in all subjects, 9% up in language arts, and a 7 percentage points up in mathematics. And this is in LEAP grades 3 through 8. Very proud of that.
We'll let Kurt say something in just a second. Uh-huh. You'll be getting your sales tax results Monday or Tuesday, or you got them already?
I have them for the fiscal year.
Let's have it then.
Well, we had budgeted. Do we get a drum roll or
we
something?
Could. You know? Wait, I got to eat something even better.
I didn't know you had one.
How about Curly?
Yeah.
All right. Well, how about a bong?
The fiscal year ended June 30th, and for the entire fiscal year, we report this monthly, but this is for the entire fiscal year.
From June 30th of 2016
July 1st.
July the 1st.
Of 16 to June 30th of 17.
All right.
Our sales tax collections were down 8.94%. Hmm. We had budgeted a minus 5%.
All right.
We had budgeted for a minus 5%, so no growth, and we thought that was a pretty conservative, because that 5% was on top of the 10%, the minus 10% that we had budgeted the fiscal year before. So 8.94%.
So you had made some adjustments already.
We make adjustments every month.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on actual collections. So minus 8.94% for fiscal 16-17. For the budget that we're going to adopt now, this summer, that the school board will adopt, we are projecting 0% growth. So what we're figuring is this.
In sales tax.
In sales tax collections.
Yeah,
right. So what we're figuring is this. If last year we had a minus 10%, this year minus 5%, which actually turned out to be minus 8.94%, we're figuring that after those 2 years that we've probably bottomed out. We're hoping that.
Now,
fingers crossed.
Are you looking at economic forecasts? Or you see businesses coming into the area?
Yeah, we're just kind of looking at everything. There's some activity going on. There's places. A new Domino's,
CC's
Coffees. There's just different things happening. Some stuff happening at the corner where Kmart used to be.
What's going on there? Do you know? They're building that.
It's maybe a dental office or Aspen weight loss or something like that.
Now, you're talking about where that old, the Exxon gas station,
Exxon.
The old M&M or
right,
whatever that was?
Exactly.
What about the Kmart building?
I think that's in some negotiations as well.
Because I heard that deal was maybe on shaky ground.
Yeah, I think from the last I heard there's some possibilities for some good things to happen there.
There's a lot of, have you seen all those container trucks there?
Yeah.
I mean, is that all for that new place they're building?
I think you mean the 18-wheeler trucks?
Yeah.
I think they're just parking there.
Right, okay.
And then the new strip mall that opened across from...
Where the old dog pound used to be, way back. Incinerator and
right.
The sewer plant and all?
Affordable, right in that area.
Yeah.
Affordable rent-to-own. There's a daiquiri place. They're opening a new oil change place there and can have your oil changed. So there are some things that are going on which kind of make us believe that we can do...
Project
0% growth,
yeah.
Not a negative this year. So 10% year before last, 5% this past year, we're going to build our budget on 0%. See how that works out.
All right.
Yep. So those are the numbers, and we're hoping that that things begin to recover. We hope it's bottomed out as far as sales tax collections.
I'm looking at downtown, and it's kind of like... sketchy. You got a shop here that's open, and then three buildings for lease or for sale or for rent, and then you got two weightlifting, two fitness shops downtown. Did you see we opened up another one?
I didn't see the other one, no.
Well, the old, I think it was the old Hub and Wormser's, Susan's, right there at the church alley. And Maine, there's a new place what do you call it, Extreme Fitness, and they're right next door to the old, the other Wormser. So the two Wormser stores side by side there, they're both fitness centers now.
Well, I hope that they are all great successes.
Same
every
here.
Every one of the businesses. I hope them nothing but success because, and I think, as things get going, one thing can lead to the next, and maybe we'll be on the right track.
Speaking
we're just so heavily dependent upon the oil and gas.
Yeah,
industry.
And I wish, you know, we never have learned our lesson. It's like we've never diversified out of that.
But maybe we're starting to do that. It's a slow
process. Hopefully, you know, get some people or get some tourists in here.
Didn't know if Kurt had anything else he wanted to offer.
Yes, go ahead, and you can repeat your offer to.
Well, I'd like to point out a few other events, and we're very excited that we were nominated as New Iberia Senior High as one of the best of the TESH. So we will be attending the banquet Friday night to hopefully be honored as one of the best of the TESH public schools in the area. So we're definitely looking forward to that.
Very good.
Of course, our orientation starts August 3rd with the freshmen at 9 o'clock. And then shortly after that, we have the Iberia Parish Football Jamboree that I'm sure we'll be back later to talk about. That'll be August 25th. But
And Nish is hosting.
That is correct. Last year, if you remember, we also implemented, I say we, it's mainly under the guidance of Mr. Jim Pichlew. He's organizing another Iberia card, which features many Iberia businesses that all the student groups can sell as a fundraiser, and it's a discount card. Mm-hmm. A variety of companies have supported us, from people like Allan Jewelry, 10% off, Cajun Glazed Donuts, free donut holes, you know, when you purchase a dozen donuts, and it goes on and on and on. We have several companies that have helped us out, and so we'll be publicizing that, and many of our groups will start selling those cards.
How much are they?
$10 a card.
Right.
There are two types of cards, but I have just a list of the businesses, and we provide that for all the student groups so they can sell it as a fundraiser to help support their clubs and organizations. And the most important thing is we're promoting Iberia, and the card is Iberia. It's called Iberia Card, Iberia Gold Card.
How long will it run?
The card actually goes all year.
We have
some groups in the fall, you know, primarily like band and football, so they start raising funds early. And then we have some groups in the spring, baseball, soccer, so they may start selling those a little bit later in the year. But we had very good success last year, both fall and spring groups, so they're looking forward to it again.
So they'll be selling these for quite a while, through the football season into the fall. And
that is correct.
And let's say you got a discount card for a Jane's Seafood. Do you get that usage just one time, or it's over and over?
It's unlimited all year long.
All right, okay.
And you mentioned Jane's. That's one of my favorites.
And plus, they're a sponsor here,
too. You get free egg rolls.
Oh, yeah. Remember that movie with Two You Get Egg Rolls or something like that with Doris Day? And
this is a wonderful promotion because it not only helps the school, but it certainly promotes Shop Iberia. Because they're all Iberia Parish businesses, so this is a win-win for everyone.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah,
and
great.
I know you talked about that last year, Mr. Kurt.
I think we brought a couple of them in here.
You did. Yeah. In fact, I think we gave some away.
Yeah, right. We're in the process of printing them, so we're about a week away. But as soon as we get them printed, we'll be happy to come back and you know, offer some of those.
Yeah, come on back and Absolutely. Tell us how it's going. And, again, you want to remind the students at NISH, and I wanted to ask you one more time. I didn't see this on the schedule. I'm probably overlooking it. Freshman orientation is Thursday, August the 3rd?
August 3rd from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m.
And that's mandatory?
Yes, they come get schedules, locker information. We allow them to walk to campus, get familiar where their classes are located. And then all other grades, we do their orientation the first day of school, which will be Friday.
So Friday is also orientation for everybody but the freshmen.
That is correct.
And Lee, that's at NISH.
What about at Westgate?
Well,
their
schedules are all different, but
okay. That's
for NISH.
Ooh.
Yeah.
All right.
Don't want anybody to be confused at Lorville, Jenera, Delcombe, Westgate. They have their own high school orientation schedules.
But they still all start on Friday.
Everybody starts
4th,
next Friday.
But their orientation for the different
schools
would be
different.
Are any of them earlier than the 4th?
I don't have the orientation schedule with me, but it is online. And you can call the school. Certainly each school would be happy to tell you, I'm going to be a sophomore next year. When is orientation? They probably know that already. But but each school is different. So what Mr. Landry is addressing is just NISH and their orientation schedule.
Okay. Yeah. And Mr. Landry, remember about the helping out of the schools. They can get some help on their fees.
That is correct. The cleanup days, one today, from 12:30 to 2:30, and then our second one will be next week, Tuesday, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m.
And it's not just grabbing a trash bag. There are some other duties that you're looking for. So if somebody says, well, I don't feel like being outside in the heat or blah, blah, blah.
That is correct, because we do have a variety of activities, and we try to keep some for both days, especially weather. If we happen to catch a shower, we can move kids inside and still get some, you know, some use and allow them to help us get our campus ready.
Did your first car have air conditioning?
I'm sorry?
Did your first car have air conditioning?
No, sir.
Dale?
Mine did not. It was 1967 Fairlane 500, two-door, no air conditioning, and standard transmission, no air conditioning.
A little six. Not you didn't have a V8.
289 V8.
Well, you had the V8. Wow.
Yeah, my first was, I think, a 68 Volkswagen. AM, I could only catch Kenny.
Yeah, that's right.
AM, so, but, hey, that was the good old days.
Yeah, because I was thinking yesterday, I don't see how we did it back at this time of the year, back in the 60s when we were. I remember I had a VW Fastback, and I had a bandana, which I draped over the steering column. And when it would get so humid, have to wipe the inside of the windshield. And
yeah, the steering wheels would really get hot.
Wow.
But when we complained to my dad about it being so
there
hot,
you go.
Put both windows down and go 40. And that was, you know, you
all right,
some wind.
Exactly.
That was it.
Exactly.
No AC.
You know, you mentioned the cars, but back in those days, many homes didn't have air conditioning.
Some
That's of the first
thing.
Experience was when we got to freshman high.
Because I'm trying to think, when they built the new high school, the thing was there's no windows,
no windows.
The thing is totally air conditioned.
But it's totally air conditioned.
Well, was freshman high air conditioned?
Yes.
And that was the
That's currently Westgate High School.
Yeah, right. It started
and
out.
And then, of course, Nish, about the same time, about 1967. But then you look at the architecture of the school on Center Street with the, you know,
the big tall
ceilings
casement. Yeah,
and
right.
Big windows and all. And but it was still pretty hot. You know, I mean, you can turn on a fan or you can put the windows up, but it's, you know, hot is hot. But I think we've just.
Do you think we just got accustomed to it?
Yeah, I think so. Anything else.
Just recently, we honored the 50th anniversary of the class, the graduating class at our existing building. And many of them did mention, you know, moving from the Center Street location to the current location. One of the big features was air condition. Because back in 1968, like I said, many homes did not
have
air condition.
I can remember it wasn't until 1960 that we got Central when we moved from Camellia Street, which had, we did have window units towards the end there, but then we got Central and it's like, holy moly.
Yeah, right.
But the grandparents who lived right next door, it's like they bought her an air conditioner, or the old folks an air conditioner, but they wouldn't use it. They felt guilty. It's like, you know, oh, that electricity is so expensive.
Well, they may not have wanted to pay that bill, right? That could have been it.
They would take damp towels at night and drape you with damp towels to where you'd fall asleep with that cooling towel and the little zzz back and forth oscillating fan. You know?
How times have changed.
And now we're sitting here. Yeah, so comfortable.
Here,
well, thanks for sharing those stories
absolutely.
With us and back in the day.
And just a reminder, of course, we'll be here next Thursday.
Tell them what they're going to be having next
yeah,
Friday,
so,
Dale.
So we'll start school next Friday, August 4th, grades 1 through 12. It'll be a full day of school. Lunch and breakfast will be served. Buses will be run. So it's a full day of school next Friday, August 4th. And maybe I'll let Kurt read the menu for next Friday for breakfast and lunch.
All right, for breakfast, when you arrive at school, we'll have scrambled eggs, hash browns, and salsa, cereal and Pop-Tart and fruit. And then later that day at lunch, we'll have cheeseburger, chicken sandwich, sweet potato fries, pickled peaches, oatmeal, raisin cookie, and, of course, milk at all the schools.
And, Lee, everyone eats at no charge.
That's right. You're still in that program?
We're still in the charge. Still in that program right here. No charge to all students for breakfast and or lunch. We're still participating in the community eligibility program. So no charge for breakfast or lunch at any of the schools.
Cool.
So, yep. Very good.
All right.
Thank you, Mr.
Dale Henderson. I'll see you next week. And Mr. Kurt, thank you for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
We look forward to coming back.
From New Iberia Senior High.